Now, the rest of the story. In the springtime of 1867, on the plains of western Kansas, just west of Walnut Creek, a greenhorn hunter named George galloped off in search of game. A half dozen hunting hounds romped along with him. Beneath him thundered the hoofs of a favorite thoroughbred steed. George was stalking antelope that day, and yet those the dogs found easily outran their pursuers until George and his pack were miles from where the chase had begun, and they were weary, and they were eager to return to camp. So might have ended a spring day in the life of a greenhorn hunter, but this is the rest of the story. On his way back, George spied a dark blot on a bluff about 2 miles away. Tiny in the distance, nonetheless, it stood out as something large and living. Concealing himself and his mount as best he could in the dry bed of a ravine, George drew closer and closer until, standing less than half a mile away, he was certain the animal was just what he had heard of, but something he'd seen up till now only in pictures, a mighty full-grown buffalo. Immediately, George's thoughts turned to the men back in the camp, a great many seasoned hunters among them, and so proud he would be, a novice of 27, he who had never before laid eyes on a full-grown bison, how proud he would be to bag the first such of the season, an accomplishment coveted by hunters who had hunted all their lives. And so, with a scent of glory in his nostrils, the greenhorn put the spurs to his horse. He galloped away in pursuit of his prize. Now, an adult buffalo was a fast animal, a real challenge to most plainsmen's mounts, but George's horse, a credit to the speed and stamina of his breed, chased the big bison for 3 miles until it was galloping full out alongside him. George was positive now that the prey was his. With the reins in one hand, he drew his revolver with the other, extended his arm, was prepared to plunge a bullet into the buffalo's chest just behind the shoulder blade, and then something remarkable happened. As though he knew it was now or die, the bison lunged left toward the horse, so surprising the latter that the horse suddenly veered away. Unbalanced in that moment, George reached for the reins with his other hand, his pistol hand, and accidentally pulled the trigger. And the bullet intended for the buffalo found instead the horse's brain. And amid stride, he fell dead, sending his rider over the top and up and down. And when George came to his senses, he was alone, the bison was gone, the dogs were scattered, the horse was lying still. And more than a great thoroughbred, that horse had belonged to George's wife. Not just any favorite horse, it was her favorite horse. Yet we need not imagine George's apology to wife Elizabeth, for he wrote her a most contrite and lengthy letter confessing what had occurred. He also wrote an article describing the event for an outdoorsman's magazine. By the way, that opus offered under the pseudonym Nomad. He wrote over the name Nomad, established once and for all that what George lacked in hunting skill, he made up for in self-deprecatory storytelling charm. By the way, his fortune in the hunt was not to improve for 9 years later. Precisely 9 years later, that same hard-riding, pistol-packing greenhorn became not the hunter but the hunted at Little Bighorn. If you've not yet recognized George, he was General George Armstrong Custer. Now you know the rest of the story.